It's time for A Different Slant with John Flavin, a local forum with opinions, discussions, and ideas about issues that affect our lives right here in Sausalito and Southern Marin. And now, too tall for TV, just right for radio, your host, John Flavin.
Hello, I am your host, John Flavin, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest in the studio, Alicia O'Loughlin, the planning director of the Marin County Bicycle Coalition. I've invited Alicia on the show to discuss some of the issues listeners have posed to me regarding bicyclists in Southern Marin. Welcome to the show, Alicia.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
Alicia, please tell the listeners a little about the Marin County Bicycle Coalition and your role.
Sure. Actually, this year, the Marin County Bicycle Coalition is celebrating our 15-year anniversary. We were formed in 1998, and for the past 15 years, we've been steadily improving our county's road and pathway systems for bicyclists and walkers. One of the primary goal, I should say, of the Marin County Bicycle Coalition is for all trips in Marin, for 20% of all trips in Marin to be made by walking or biking by 2020. And some of the ways that we're achieving this is through educating cyclists and motorists through our Share the Road campaign, our basic street skills and women on wheels, education and safety classes, as well as through family biking workshops. And we also started the Safe Routes to School program here in Marin in 2004, which is now a national program. And we currently run the day-to-day activities of Marin's Safe Routes to School program. And we also have an off-road program. And then, of course, we advocate to help put bicycle and pedestrian facilities on the ground.
And Alicia, what is your role in that coalition?
I'm the planning director, so I work closely with Marin's jurisdictions to provide input and to help move forward on-street bicycle facilities and safety improvements here in Marin.
Have you had much interaction with the local areas of Southern Marin?
I have. Actually, in fact, I live in Tam Valley. I bike daily to school and back with my daughter. I ride to run local errands, and I also go on weekend pleasure rides with my family. And then, of course, I attend the City of Sausalito's as well as other jurisdictions, Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee meetings. And that's a way for me to stay informed of local efforts and of cycling-related issues and concerns.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, my listeners have voiced some concerns to me. The first is that residents don't seem to be getting much in return for all the money spent meeting the needs of bicyclists. In short, you don't see a lot of shopping bags hanging from bicycles.
Well, tourism is a very substantial revenue generator in Sausalito, and some tourists come by car, others come by bike. I like to imagine, you know, what it would be like if every tourist came by car. You know, what would traffic be like then? I mean, certainly the bicycle tourists are spending money. I don't think we need to see shopping bags hanging from their handlebars in order to know that. I mean, they're dining at local restaurants and bars and enjoying local services, you know, perhaps getting a massage or visiting a salon or a clothing boutique or shop. And then, you know, also there are several studies available that show that cyclists do spend money. You know, they tend to make more trips and they spend less per trip. But as a cyclist, you know, and working for the Bicycle Coalition, I move around this county a lot and I see tons of people with cargo bikes or baskets and panniers, backpacks, and they're loaded down with all sorts of cargo, groceries and shopping bags, kids, you name it.
Well, some residents are concerned that the number of rental bike riders seems to be increasing beyond the region's capacity for them.
MCBC's been working with the Sausalito and Golden Gate Ferries, the city's Department of Public Works and Police Department, and the bicycle rental companies to help try to find a solutions for the large number of cyclists that want to take the ferry back to the city. I don't think it's so much as a regional capacity issue as much as it's a ferry queuing capacity issue. And the city and the ferry system have come up with some really creative solutions to try to address this, including recently implementing a reservation system, which allows cyclists to reserve a spot on the ferry and then, you know, maybe go out and have a nice meal before they come back and catch the boat. Another capacity issue in Sausalito is a lack of adequate bike parking. And, you know, tourists and locals want to be able to park their bikes near the establishments that they're visiting. And so MCBC is hoping to see more dispersed bike parking throughout the city.
How would that be accomplished, Alicia? There's not a lot of land here.
That is true. So that's why we're working with the Department of Public Works to try to identify possible locations. In some cases, you know, you can create what they would call a bicycle corral, which is similar to what's down at the ferry terminal now, where you can put a lot of bicycle in one location and maybe have multiple corrals located throughout the city. So it would be more, so it'd be a little easier for cyclists who want to frequent different parts of the city to, you know, lock up their bike and then walk to a restaurant or wherever they're visiting. And then to identify locations that would work for single bicycle racks or a few racks. So it is a challenging situation, but it's something that definitely needs to be addressed if we don't want bicycles cluttering up the sidewalks and locked up to trees and meters, which I'm sure everyone would agree that that's not ideal. You know, then we need to come up with some creative solutions to address those concerns.
And I hope we do. Finally, Alicia, we get to the topic of spandex speedsters. I want to preface this section with a comment that we all recognize that most such cyclists are okay, and it's a small percentage that appear to be the most obnoxious and combative. So first, many such speedsters want to be treated like vehicles, such as riding down the middle of a traffic lane, but then feel free to run lights and ignore pedestrians in crosswalks.
Right. Well, there is a tremendous number and actually increasing number of people using bikes to get to and from work and around in general. And I'm not sure what they're all wearing, but they're out there and they're taking cars off the road and they're living a healthy and sustainable lifestyle. And I believe we need more people willing to leave their cars behind. With regards to speeders in particular, you know, bicycles are vehicles under the California Vehicle Code, and as such, cyclists are required to follow all of the laws. Do motorists follow all the laws? No. And the same is true with cyclists. So how do you deal with that situation? And that's through enforcement. So MCBC strongly encourages cyclists to abide by the law for the safety of other roadway users and for the safety of themselves.
Riders seem to carry a large amounts of energy packets on their rides, and many have no hesitancy to drop the empty packets on Southern Marin streets and paths.
As far as I know, MCBC is not aware of this. It's definitely the first time I've heard of it. I encourage all listeners not to litter. I don't know if these energy packs are being dropped intentionally or not. I think it's really irrelevant. Litter, the reality is it's a litter issue and maybe not necessarily a cyclist issue. People need to respect the area and the people where they are, and they need to act responsibly. And I believe the same is true for all people.
Alicia, a new development. Tell the listeners about the new 3-foot law and how it will affect drivers in Southern Marin.
I'd like to start by just letting the listeners know that the leading cause of cycling fatalities is due to drivers who fail to yield the right-of-way, and that results in 26% of cyclist deaths. So we hope this law is going to dramatically increase the safety for cyclists. And I think it's really important also to emphasize that most all cyclists are also drivers. We're all the same people. You know, there are brothers and our daughters and our neighbors and ourselves. What's really more important is how will the law affect the safety of roadway users. And in this case, the most vulnerable roadway user is the cyclist. Keeping people alive is in everyone's best interest. And I think the question that we really need to ask ourselves is it worth, you know, slowing down a few seconds to save a life?
I just want to be clear that this new 3-foot law requires a driver to be 3 feet from any bicyclist. And my final question, has the registration and licensing of bicycles ever been contemplated? It would help to identify that small percentage of offenders.
Well, MCBC is opposed to anything that would create an impediment to cycling. If there's a particular location where there are many violations occurring, then there needs to be better enforcement at that location.
But you must admit that if someone sees an offense, they have no way of advising the police as to who the offender, the identity of the offender. Many times the request has been made to stop and the offender makes a gesture and heads on. So it is a real problem, and I would ask you all to reconsider that idea. It's not, I think they're probably talking minimal registration cost, but it would help to identify those small offenders.
Again, the Bicycle Coalition wants to ensure that we can get as many people on bicycles as possible. And if registering your bicycle is going to become an impediment achieving that goal, then that is not something that we support. We're asking people to abide by the law. So if there's a problematic location where a lot of these offenses are taking place, then I think the best solution to that is to ensure that there's proper enforcement at that location.
Alicia, you've been a real trooper to come on the show today, and I thank you for your answers. I am sure your members have some complaints about the residents of Southern Marin, and I invite you to come back and discuss those.
Well, John, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions or concerns and they would like to reach out to the Bicycle Coalition personally, I would really encourage them to do so. You can contact us through our homepage. There is a link available right on the homepage.
If you are a Sausalito resident, one of the ways you can provide your input is by participating in the Sausalito Pedestrian and Bicyclist Advisory Committee's online resident survey. If you'd like to receive this survey, please send an email request to sausalitobikesurvey, that's all one word, @gmail.com. If you don't participate, you can't complain. Well, that's my show for today. Please join me again as I shed light on the issues and on the characters that shape Sausalito and Southern Marin. Until then, stay slanted.
You've been listening to A Different Slant, and you can hear us again at this time next week, right here on AM 1610. If there's a question you'd like John to address on the show, or if you have a better answer to any of today's issues, send an email to slant@radiosausalito.org. That's the word slant@radiosausalito.org. This broadcast is available as a free podcast subscription on iTunes or anytime at radiosausalito.org. Different Slant theme produced by Paul Simmons and Mark Keller of Loudville Studios in Sausalito. Find them at loudville.tv. Thanks for listening.